Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ramesh. The study I'm presenting is Longitudinal Trends in Firearm-Related Hospitalizations in the United States. I'm a health services researcher. All of my colleagues are health services researchers. We're physicians and dentists. We are not experts in firearms. We're not experts in legislation about firearms. We don't know that much about firearms, but we know about research. And I'm hoping that I can deliver a very balanced presentation and simply take you through our data, our findings. It's not my intention to speak for guns or against guns, but simply to present our data. For myself and my whole team, there's no conflict of interest and no disclosures. So just to set the scene, ladies and gentlemen, this is a report from the CDC, where my colleague works. It's looking at death reports, and in the year 2011, there was 32,163 deaths related to firearms, and about two-thirds of this was related to suicides, and 11,000 related to homicides, 851 to do with accidental deaths. This is a paper from Gary Kleck and Mark Gertz, a very famous one, albeit a controversial one, and what this paper said is that every year, about 2.5 million times, guns are used in self-defense. So what they were saying in this paper is, yes, firearms cause injury and death, but it may be that in certain circumstances, they actually prevent crime or reduce crime. And in that paper, in these 2.5 million times, only 8% of the time was the attacker injured or killed. So usually the victim would produce a gun and the attacker would run away. And they also said that 200,000 women each year use firearms to defend themselves against sexual abuse. The objective of our study is to present nationally representative data about the characteristics of hospitalizations and the hospitalization outcomes related to firearm injuries in the United States. The abstract that was accepted for APHA was year 2000 to 2008. Today I'm presenting 2003 to 2010, so let me explain why that is. In 2003, there was a change in diagnostic variable, and that's why we thought to use from 2003 forward would be more comparable data. We're using the nationwide inpatient sample, by the way. And the reason it's 2010 is this is now the most updated data that we have. The nationwide inpatient sample lags by about 3 years, so this year 2010 came out, next year 2011, and so on. So for the purpose of time, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the ins and outs of the nationwide inpatient sample. We can do that later if you wish, but basically it is the nation's largest inpatient database. It has nationally representative data about the whole of the United States. For case selection, we used all E-codes related to firearm injuries. So what this means is E-codes are external cause of injury codes, and these are all the codes. Basically, we don't need to go through all of the codes, but it breaks down... Sorry, folks, am I going in and out? I think I am, but So I'll just tell you the basic subgroups. Self-inflicted injury by firearm, accidents caused by firearms, assault, and then injury undetermined whether accidental or purposely. So, folks, this is our data. For the 8 years of our study, there was 252,000 hospitalizations related to firearms. You can see that generally it's been around 30, 31,000, and then in year 2010, it suddenly went up to 40,000. We're not exactly sure why, and we're actually looking forward to analysing the 2011 data set, which will help us to understand whether this is the new norm, or whether we will go back to levels in previous years. But for some reason, 2010, there was a big jump. On a national level, there were a number of small changes, but we don't actually think that they contributed to this change. For example, in 2009, Obama enacted legislation allowing firearms in national parks. In Louisiana, there was a law passed that allows you to take a firearm into a house of worship. So a few small laws like this, but we don't think that that is what caused this big jump, so we don't really understand that, and we're still trying to figure it out. Maybe someone can tell me today. Now, this is the distribution of hospitalizations. Remember, 252,000 hospitalizations due to firearms in the 8 years of the study. This is the distribution by age. and I think this is kind of an important slide, you can see that age 22 to 30 contributed 30% of all these hospitalizations, and actually age 15 to 40 was close to 80%. And this is actually our first high-risk group. So adolescents and young adults, 15 to 40, is almost 80% of all hospitalizations due to firearm injuries for the 8 years of the study. Not much more needs to be said here, folks. For all 8 years of the study, males represented 89%. So in my opinion, this is probably the most important slide that I will show you today. For 252,000 hospitalizations over the 8 years, almost half were black. And we don't really understand why that is. Whites are 27%, Hispanic 19%, but we don't really understand why so many hospitalizations due to firearm injuries were amongst blacks. This is the nation's breakdown, ladies and gentlemen. The left-hand side is the US Census Bureau. The right-hand side is our data. So you can see in the US, about 72% are white, 16.3% Hispanic, 12.6% black. But our data on the right, which is the hospitalizations due to firearm injuries, 27% are white and 48% are black. We have no idea why victims of firearm injuries that result in hospitalizations are so often black. We have no idea. And there's one important fact that I must tell you, and that is that in the nationwide inpatient sample, 20% of race data is intentionally suppressed. So this information you're looking at is only 80% of the nation's race data from the nationwide inpatient sample. But even if all of the 20% were white, there would still be an underrepresentation of whites, there would still be an overrepresentation of blacks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't strain your eyes looking at this slide. This is, I'll just let you know what it is. It's year-by-year breakdown for age, sex, and race. And there's no surprises, the high-risk groups did not change. So for all 8 years of the study, age 15 to 40 was the high-risk group by age. Males were the high-risk group by gender, and blacks were the high-risk group by race. This is now insurance status. For the 8 years of the study, 34% of all victims were uninsured, 27% were Medicaid, and 23% were privately insured. And Medicare is up there too, 5%. Now, this is the discharge after hospitalization. Only 72% of people were discharged routinely. Please note, 8% died in hospital, unfortunately. And then there's 9% were transferred to long-term care facilities, 2% transferred to short-term care facilities. What's relevant here is we have none of that information. Our study is focused on hospital resource use. If you're interested in societal impact, our study grossly, grossly underestimates that because we have none of this post-discharge information. We don't know what happens to them after hospital. We don't know about prescription medication, counselling, physical therapy. We have none of that information. So our study is focused on hospital resource use. So this again, don't squint. I'll tell you the secret, I guess. It's year-by-year breakdown for insurance and disposition. Disposition did not change. It was basically the pattern that I showed you previously. Insurance level 2 didn't really change, but private insurance reduced from the start of our study to the end by about 4%, and then Medicare, Medicaid, and the uninsured actually increased by the end of our study by that same 4%. Okay, now unfortunately, out of the 252,000 hospitalizations due to firearm injuries, 61% were assault, and 22% were accidental, 8% were self-inflicted. So it certainly seems like a public health opportunity because 61% is actually assault. This is our data year by year for the mean hospital charge. All dollars are expressed in 2010 US dollars, meaning inflation is accounted for. We're not exactly sure why 2003 has such a high mean cost. Still trying to figure that out. But if you look at the rest of it, you can see that there is a general increase in mean sorry, I shouldn't say cost, it's actually hospital charges. So actually, that's an important distinction because we don't know what the costs are to the hospital. This is the charges incurred by the individual, okay? And so the charges from 2004 onwards, you can see that it's increasing, which reflects our increasing healthcare costs. Nationwide, for the 8 years of the study, $18.9 billion for hospitalizations, managing hospitalized patients with firearm injuries. And again, folks, this is just hospital charges. We're not talking about societal impact. That is grossly underestimated by our study. This slide now is length of stay, the mean length of stay when you come to hospital, when you're hospitalized after a firearm injury. It's a little bit erratic, but if you generally look at the message here, at the start of the study, it's actually lower than at the end of the study. So length of stay is increasing, which we thought was odd because we've studied other healthcare processes and generally surgeons are becoming more specialized. Hospitals are becoming more efficient. Length of stay is reducing, but here length of stay is increasing and we don't really know why. Overall, the mean was 7.1 days over the 8 years of the study, and 1,851,125 hospitalization days. That's 5,070 years, ladies and gentlemen. So this is now the deaths, patients that were admitted to hospital after a firearm injury and ended up dying, unfortunately. Again, you see it's in the sort of high 2000s, and then in 2010 it jumps. But don't be fooled into thinking that, well, that's because 2010 it was very high. Another important fact is in 2003, when people were hospitalized for firearm injuries, 7.9% died. In 2010, it was actually 8.9%. So again, I don't really understand this because hospital outcomes are worsening. And I thought we were really improving our processes and getting better and better, but actually a larger proportion of people are dying now after being admitted to hospital with a firearm injury. So yes, there were more hospitalizations, but also a larger proportion were dying. And that's why in 2010, the numbers are astronomical actually compared to the other years. Overall in the United States, for the 8 years of the study, 20,355 deaths. In conclusion, basically, our study has highlighted some high-risk groups, and the issue is the high-risk groups remained high-risk groups for the entire period of the study, and that is males, blacks, the uninsured, and individuals who are 15 to 40. And that did not change. If you just Google, you'll see that there have been numerous public health interventions and legislation trying to reduce gun violence. But you can see that they haven't led to a big reduction. As a matter of fact, things have got worse. And not to mention, length of stay is increasing and a larger proportion of people are now dying once they're admitted to hospital with a firearm injury. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention. These are our references. Bit of a summary. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them. Miss?
When you were talking about 48% black, did you take into account, I know you did insurance, other demographics, like education level or poverty level, besides that, or did you have persons, like one-to-one contact with these people? I didn't know if you took into account the risk factors that led up to the gunshot.
It would be great if we did. But the nationwide inpatient sample is, it doesn't have that level of detail. It does have mean household income, so we do have that information. There's actually, it was so hard, I was actually here this morning compressing my slides because originally it would be like a 45-minute talk. So there's a lot of other data that we have, but not to the detail of education level and things like that. And the other thing that I should mention is this is hospitalizations. So I could have been hospitalized twice, so I'm counted twice, but I'm one individual, so it's just hospitalizations. Miss, you had a question?
Yeah, I was wondering if there was any effect at all for victims of gun violence who don't go to a hospital, whether we have any idea of the number of that and how large it would be.
Personally, I don't have a clue because I don't know enough. Only out of interest we got involved in this study, and I'm only just learning. We actually published a paper a year ago on emergency room visits. It's quite different because unfortunately many people die in the emergency room, and what you're saying, which is quite true, certainly many people die before even going to hospital, you know, or may even choose alternate means of care. And I'm not aware of a data set that captures that. Certainly not the data set we're working with. Yeah. Miss? Okay, thanks for that question. This is a slide that I actually left out, but it's a good slide. Basically, we do have region, okay, and when you look at the region over the 8 years, there's not much difference. So, you know, northeast, south, midwest, west, there's not much difference, when I say difference, in comparison to the US Census Bureau data. So it is as you would expect. However, from year to year, there's enormous variation, and I don't know why that is. So over the 8 years, the distribution is as you would expect by population, okay? But, for example, the northeast, which represents about 17% of US citizens, and the first year of the study was 17%. Then it dropped to 12%, and then it was about 12 or 13 for a few years. Then it went up to 23%. And then it came, so, and then all the regions were erratic like that. But when we looked at it all together, it was even. So the thing is, from year to year, the distribution of these hospitalizations seem to vary greatly. But overall, it seems to match the distribution of the US population. But great question. Yes, miss. No, but we could. The one slide that I did take out was type of firearm, because it kind of wasn't that helpful, because the number one cause, which was about 40%, was unspecified firearm. You know, because this information is being put into the data set by hospital staff who may not know that much about the type of gun and that kind of thing, but it was assault. And so that's why I talked about assault instead. But it would be possible, I believe, to do that sort of analysis. So, and that would be interesting, yeah. Okay, thank you.